liebe Zuhörer, 2019 war rund um das Hellboy-Universum ein ganz besonderes Jahr. Nicht nur stand der dritte Kinofilm in den Startlöchern, nein, auch wurde 25 Jahre Hellboy gefeiert. Zu diesem Anlass durfte unser Mattes ein Telefoninterview mit Mike Mignola führen, was wir euch heute ganz gerne nochmal präsentieren wollen. Ursprünglich hat er das für den Tagesspiegel gemacht, dort ist das Interview dann in schriftlicher Form erschienen und heute gibt es den Originalmitschnitt. Der ist auf Englisch. Für die von euch, die sich nicht so wohl im Englischen fühlen, die finden in den Shownotes noch eine Mitschrift auf Deutsch und können dort alles nachlesen. Allen anderen wünsche ich jetzt viel Spaß bei diesem ganz besonderen Interview.
Mike, you are the creator of Hellboy, and Hellboy is one of the independent comic books, or maybe the only independent comic book, that spawned a whole universe of other characters. Why do you think, what is it that made Hellboy so successful compared to many other independent comic books that were really good but lasted for like 20 or 25 issues?
Well, you know, again, I don't know that it was that Hellboy was particularly good. I think it wouldn't be hard for me to name a bunch of independent comics that I think were at least as good, if not better. But as an independent creator, it's entirely up to me to keep the book going. Now, granted, I couldn't have done it without Dark Horse and without the book selling enough copies. But I think in my case, I just wanted to keep going. I had so many stories, and as soon as I started doing Hellboy, nothing else appealed to me. I know many, many creators who did their creator-owned book and could have continued to do their creator-owned book, but for whatever reason, they wanted to do something else, or they wanted to go back to work for Marvel or DC Comics, you know, whatever the case might be. But Hellboy, which was never a huge seller, it sold well enough that I could keep going. And I don't know. I mean, I guess the success of the book, certainly, you know, once we started having movies and things, that allowed for us to be able to do the spin-off books. But, you know, Dark Horse never said, oh, Hellboy is successful, so let's have more Hellboy books. That was entirely driven by me, by just having so many ideas for other characters that didn't fit into the Hellboy comic. It was just, well, let's experiment. Let's see if these things work. So it wasn't a thing of, it's a successful book, let's create a bigger line of books. It was just, you know, I had too many stories. So he had to make room for them.
Yeah, I see. And all these characters you're talking about, were these part of your concept right from the beginning, or did the story grow? How much of this whole Mignola verse existed with the first issue of Hellboy released?
Well, from the very beginning, I had Liz Sherman and I had Abe Sapien, and there was the idea. I mean, the idea originally was that it was going to be a team comic, that Hellboy would just be one member of that team. And in fact, had I been able to come up with a name for the team, that would have been the name of the comic. But I couldn't come up with a name for the team. So the only name I had that was close to being a superhero kind of name was Hellboy. And then, you know, very quickly, I mean, certainly in the middle of the main story, my focus became mostly about Hellboy. So by the end of that first miniseries, I knew I wanted to do Hellboy. The other characters I liked, the other characters I had ideas about, but I didn't want them to share the stage. So they all got kind of shoved off to the side. I used them a little bit here and there in other stories, but it was frustrating that I couldn't do a comic that had, you know, gave all the attention to all the characters as my focus was more and more on Hellboy. So I didn't have the idea of a big universe. I hadn't created Lobster Johnson yet. The idea was just to do Hellboy, and then everything just sort of snowballed out of that.
Great. So one remarkable thing about Hellboy and all spin-offs is the approach to classic horror creatures that, to me, at last, were cheesy for decades, that were just caricatures of themselves. And Hellboy brought back the mean, the creepy attitude of these characters, of these figures. Was that something that you intended? Because when you just speak about Hellboy, about a devil brawling with Nazis and meeting werewolves, it sounds cheesy if you just want to tell people about it. But if you read it, it is so, also so dark and epic and not ridiculous at all. Is that something that you wanted to achieve for these?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it shows my attitude, because I think you're right. A lot of these ideas are so cliche that most people would only treat them in sort of a parody kind of way. And I did do some bits that were a little silly, a little over the top. But the truth is, I love that stuff so much. I am so much a fan of a very old-fashioned type of fiction and old-fashioned type of movies and ghost stories and things like that, that I treated all that stuff as if it was serious. You know, I just... Yeah, I love it too much to make fun of it. If I do make fun of it, it's in a very loving way. So yeah, I think that's where you see this thing really reflects my personality and my love for all that stuff.
So, talking about Hellboy and your creation and how many other series it spawned, how deep are you currently involved in telling these Hellboy stories and the Mignolaverse? What is your job most of the time?
You know, it goes through different phases. The last few years, my focus has been things like, you can tell by the books that where I'm the solo writer, you know. So I did the Koski the Deathless book. I had gotten further and further away from BPRD because... John Arcudi had that well in hand, and John and I discussed the general direction the book was going. I've always known where BPRD would need to end up, but I gave John free rein to get it there eventually. When John decided to leave the book, that's when I realized I had to get back involved. That's why I wrote it with Scott Alley. He and I spent a few days intensely plotting something I didn't do with John usually, but Scott and I really sat down and intensely plotted the last arc of BPRD. So as I knew we were wrapping that series up, I had to come back and get very, very involved, especially the very last issue, because I knew how this book had to end. I knew all the different bits that had to come back together. So John got to do kind of whatever he wanted. And then when it came time to finish, then it was time to connect all the dots. Right now, I've gone back to writing Hellboy. I think I've written 5 issues of Hellboy right now that haven't come out yet. And after I write those 5 issues of Hellboy, I'm not exactly sure. I've got a couple ideas of Hellboy-related things I still want to do. I want to get back to drawing some of this stuff myself. I've plotted a Hellboy story I'd like to draw myself. Chris Roberson is very involved in certain books. He and I had very extensive conversations about things like the Witchfinder book and the Hellboy and the BPRD series he's writing. But once we've had those conversations, I kind of, once we agree on where things are going, I don't want to micromanage. I don't want him to be breathing down his neck saying, oh, do this. No, once we've had the conversations about the direction, I want to give the writer room to do what he does. I think a writer, an artist, they're always going to do their best work if they feel that you trust them and you leave them alone. So, yeah.
That sounds like a really healthy relationship to your artist. But emotionally, is it easy for you to let other artists draw your creations? Or has it always been the characters that you form with your personal art style?
It is sometimes it's difficult. It gets easier as you work with certain artists over and over again. I remember way back when I first turned over the Hellboy book to Duncan Figueredo.
Yeah.
I was very nervous. Even though I loved Duncan's stuff, I had always been the artist on Hellboy. So at the very beginning, someone else was actually supposed to draw the book. And so I had actually done little thumbnail layouts for the whole book. So I kind of, unfortunately, Duncan kind of went into it with me almost as if I didn't trust him. Like I had told him how to tell the story. And then when he started turning in artwork, I started saying things like, well, maybe this should be a little bit different, or maybe that should be a little different. And I realized really quickly, if I do this, he's going to quit the book. He's so good, I have to kind of let go of how would I tell the story and trust the artist. So once I did that, it became easier. When I write for other artists, I do sort of thumbnail the book for myself just so I know how it works. But then I try not to give them too much detail and give them room to tell the story their way. And then anytime I work with an artist I've never worked with before, that's a little nerve-wracking, you know? It's comfortable working with Ben Stenbeck because we've worked together for so long. It's comfortable working with Duncan because we've worked together for so long. But every time you work with somebody new, you kind of hold your breath. I'm very picky about the artists I work with. So I'm always on the lookout for really good artists. And then when I find a really good artist, the question is, okay, what kind of story is this guy going to be best for? Because this one particular artist might be really good with one kind of thing. This other artist might be really good for another kind of thing. So I tailor as much as I can. I tailor the stories to those particular artists. And if there's an artist I want to work with, usually one of the first questions I'll ask is, what kind of thing do you want to draw? Because, again, I think a guy's going to do his best work if you're giving him the things he wants to draw. If a guy hates drawing cars, I don't want to give him a story about cars.
It makes perfect sense. Seeing all the many things that Hellboy and all related characters spawned of, like board games, action figures, animated features, you have to come to talk about the motion pictures as well. There have been two in the past, directed by Guillermo del Toro, starring Ron Perlman, and there is going to be a third one, a reboot that you are co-screenwriting for. How far do you think the new approach is different to the ones that existed before? What is the main thing different about this?
I would say that the main difference is that it is darker and it is more of a horror film. It's sort of an action horror film, and it earns its R rating. I mean, when we that's why it's a reboot, because when we first were talking about doing this particular story, we were still playing with the idea of continuing the Hellboy universe that Del Toro and I had created for his movies. And at some point, I'm pretty sure it was as soon as we started talking about Neil Marshall directing, we thought, is it really the right thing to do to try to continue a Hellboy universe created for another director, created with another director, created by another director? Is that in some ways unfair to the new director, especially if the new director has a very different style, and if we're going to be using a different actor? so after, I don't know, maybe a year or two of trying to find a way to continue what Del Toro had done, then it was just, no, let's go back. We still will keep the same story we want to tell, but let's take out all the Del Toro things and, you know, let Neil create his own version of Hellboy.
And was it right from the beginning your idea or the idea of the creative team to pick a storyline that is so late in the storyline of the comic books that is not a origin story?
Yeah, I mean, I had nothing to do with that. That was something that came to me, and quite frankly, when they came to me with the idea of doing Wild Hunt, I thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
it's the middle of a big story. It's very far down the road. And it took a while for me to realize that it actually was a good place to start if you don't want to just redo what Guillermo had already done. Guillermo had already done, sort of, the beginning of the Hellboy storyline, and we didn't want to do that. So the nice thing, once I wrapped my brain around it, was we're jumping into this big storyline. I mean, the biggest Hellboy story I ever did covers three books, and The Wild Hunt is the middle book. So, okay, that's a little strange to start in the middle, but it did present so many different things. The whole Arthurian mythology and some of Hellboy's background that wasn't in the Del Toro movies. I realized if we did Wild Hunt, then we knew where to go from there, because we are locked into this big epic storyline, and we can move the pieces around. You know, if we get to do a second film, a third film, hopefully, then I know where the story is going. My original idea was to take one of the Hellboy stories that doesn't relate to anything else. It's just a Hellboy adventure. But these guys, I think, really wanted to do something where you felt like we were, again, at the beginning of a bigger story. This thing works by itself as one movie, but if we get to continue, then there's a very clear path to follow.
For it to unfold, I see. Did you have the chance to join on set to meet the actors, to meet the team?
Yeah, I mean, I was on set very briefly this time. On the Del Toro pictures, I was on the set a lot, but this time, for various reasons, I really was only there at the very beginning. So we shot for, I think, four nights in England, three mm-hmm. or four nights. I was there for four nights. I was there those four nights in England, and then the production moved to Bulgaria. So I went to Bulgaria for a week, and mostly at that point, because I had stepped away from the screenplay at one point and hadn't read it for a while, I needed those couple days in Bulgaria as they were, because they were filming. I'm like, oh, it might be my last chance to read the script. So I spent a few very intense days with the producer and with the screenwriter, Andrew Cosby, and we went through the script with a fine-tooth comb and changed some little things here and there. And then I was there for the first day they shot in Bulgaria, which was phenomenal. Because it's the only time I've had that experience where it was the Wild Hunt on horseback out in this beautiful field and out in the woods. And it was the first time I ever looked at something and said, oh my God, that looks almost exactly like the comic. The costumes were the same. I never imagined we'd ever actually see Hellboy riding on horseback. So that was just phenomenal. I mean, I've seen a lot of really cool stuff, but on this picture, I saw more stuff where I went, oh, I recognize that. That's from the comic. That's one thing on this picture, that was very different than the Del Toro movies. On the Del Toro movies, I was involved a lot as a concept artist working with Guillermo because he had a different idea for what things should look like. And on this picture, not to take anything away from the concept artist, but so much of the stuff was taken as close as they could from the comic, the costume designs and things like that. They were referencing the comic directly. So that was actually very nice. That was very flattering.
And seeing that Hellboy, the comic book, and the first two movies were critically acclaimed and are also fan favorites, are you afraid when with altering the movie approach right now that this toxic fan culture that sometimes can come from very eager, from very passionate fans, that this could come to Hellboy with the altering of the concept that, as it was before?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not worried about it, but it is inevitable. I mean, we saw it right away. We saw right away that, you know, people want the Del Toro movie. People want Ron Perlman as Hellboy. And the thing is, from where I'm sitting, you were either not going to get any Hellboy movie or you were going to get this Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
So it's not like we said, oh, Guillermo, you can't make a third movie. There wasn't going to be a Guillermo third movie. So, I can't be concerned with the audience reaction. I think the comic book fans will be very happy because there's so much of the comic in this, but it is very different. It's now that I've seen the film, now that I'm happy with the film, they're never going to make it for me. You know, there's always gonna be stuff I would do differently, but I'm so flattered and happy to see so much of the comic on film. So many characters that we didn't get to see in the other pictures are in this film. I can't control what people like and what people don't like, but for me, it's very exciting to see this much of my work, you know, on the screen.
And I think if you are your fans and the fans of the Hellboy franchise, the Hellboy comic books should be as well.
In the past, I worried that if people didn't like the movie, that would negatively impact the comic. But at this point, the comic's been going on for 25 years. I would love to think if people don't like the movie, that won't affect their enjoyment of the comic. The comic is what the comic is. The comic has always followed its own path. So if you don't like the movie, unless you hate the movie so much that you blame me and want to take it out on me by not buying the comic, I mean, I'm sure there'll be at least a couple of those kind of people out there, but there's nothing I can do about that. My concern is doing the comic as well as I can do the comic, you know, expanding and continuing to play with this world I've created. And, you know, my hope is the film is a very good, you know, representative, a very good advertisement for the real Hellboy, which is the books, which is the comics.
Perfect summary of what we are to expect. And with you returning to your book and returning to Hellboy, everyone is looking forward not only to the movie, but of course to the Hellboy comic books. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you.